Christmas card to you and all your family, your neighbors and your friends. May all your days be happy with a joy that never ends. May peace and love surround you at Christmas time and all the whole year. James Bond, Stanley Kubrick, Meryl Streep, Joan 90, Doctor Who, Batman Begins, Superman, The Three Martinis, The Three Deuces, and Dick's Banner. Who needs anything more to welcome the legendary Shane and Sheila River to the midweek drive?
I wonder who these fantastic characters were you were talking about.
Listen, Christmas without the Rimmers, it's frankly inconceivable. It's the important thing, you know?
I'm taking out a long-term contract on this, so I have to warn you now, so I'll be back for the next one.
Very critical. That's where you listen, Shane. We started together in the 1980s in a broom cupboard in Dulwich, and here we are still in the next 21st century.
Yes,
and
we have
got a major, major fan in the studio. He by day has operated as a superlative marketing officer for the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, actually covering maternity leave, not his own, you'll be pleased to know, because obviously that would be unique in all sorts of ways, before he heads off to Salford. He's been in Lincoln for a few years. He's from Preston. Originally, he is Ross Ironfield. And Ross, you have trembled physically when I actually handed you a copy of From Thunderbirds to Pterodactyls.
That is true. That is true. Still am.
we're even thinking, guys, of coming down to see you at FandaCon next year, because we're doing a feature with Jamie Anderson tomorrow. And we thought, you know.
Excellent.
Yeah, let's work with that. Anyway, Ross.
And they're also doing the Space Centre, the Brit Sci-Fi.
Do you know, we should be there as well.
We should go for that. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We will go. And I will introduce Ed Wellman and Gabriella Peralta, the girl from Gibraltar.
And I'm from Lincoln.
Exactly.
Hello.
Very foreign.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're
coming from everywhere, aren't they? Tonight?
We've got listeners just outside Delhi as well. It's fantastic. It's really great. And, of course, Phil Leonis over in Los Angeles. Anyway, Ross, whilst I seek out the Penny Evans track we're about to actually launch to the world, and Shane and Sheila Rimmer, a chat with them about life, the universe, and various other factors.
Hello. How are you both?
Yes,
it's
very well,
in-depth
thank you.
Interviewing, Ross.
Good.
That's great.
Yeah,
hey, great carry
stuff.
On. Carry on.
I must confess, I bought the audio book of your book, Shane, and had a good listen to it in the car.
And had a bonus morning. Feature with Sheila, of course.
Yeah, I thought you did a brilliant impression of Sylvia Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
But what I was surprised to learn, actually, was I didn't realise that you'd been a scriptwriter for a number of the other sort of Anderson series, Joe 90 and Captain Scarlet.
Well,
and The Protectors.
And The Protectors, yes.
And The Protectors.
Yeah.
It was a good groundie because it was almost like, the old-fashioned rep theatre where everybody did something every week and it didn't have to be on the same line, and doing so many of that with 32 series of Thunderbirds, you got to be very well acquainted with how the thing worked, and so it wasn't a terribly high vault to get into it, and you knew the lingo, you knew what Jerry liked, and Tony Barwick, and these
well,
sort of
sometimes
people.
Sometimes you knew what Jerry liked.
Sometimes. When you didn't, you just walked out the back door and said, I'll see you in a couple of weeks, but... It was, I think the actual level of script was terrific. Not mine, but I mean, just on a general look. And I think that's what kept the thing going for as long as it did. You know, you've got to have that kind of quality right in the middle of a series. Otherwise, the thing starts to tail off and get a bit
But you
moldy.
Started off as a journalist, didn't you, before you started acting, so
well,
you
I
were
don't know.
Ready.
I always thought Sheila, he was a radio presenter. But it's marvellous, you know, the radio to journalists is fantastic. Of course, the quality is there. The campaign, I'm very tempted to actually start there with, of course, the ITV Thunderbird series in 2015. We know that, obviously, Matt Graham is back there, but I think there should be a campaign, Shane, to get you back as the voice of Jeff Tracy, if not Scott Tracy, you know.
I would welcome. I think that would be lovely.
Yeah,
I'm not sure it's going to have any chance of happening, but... I have very fond remembrances of Thunderbirds. I mean, the whole thing started off from scratch in this little sort of makeup studio in this Slough trading estate where they only had, they wouldn't allow anything over one story, so you were constantly creeping around. And all of a sudden, bang, it just started to happen all over the world. It's really a rather nice thing to be part of something that's really going like that.
He should be the father, shouldn't he, Alex?
Well, that was my line, Sheila, exactly.
Scott was the favourite son, father.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah. And that, you know, as I can appreciate, maybe the voice is not possibly as young as it used to be. I suffer the same thing myself, it has to be said. But I think conceivably, as the father figure, ideal. You know,
definitely fitting.
Absolutely.
There we are.
Shane had done a voiceover as Jeff Tracy a few years ago, actually, for a fan film, I think that's right.
Oh, God, yes.
There's precedent's been set here.
I'm never sure you ever got on the market, but who knows?
There's a link on YouTube, but it's very good.
I think the thing is still in a slight flux. But I was talking to David today, David Graham. He's a remarkable fellow with that voice of his and all the tremendous sort of mobility it has. He records for the blind. And he had just done one, I don't know, about 2 days ago. But he's been doing it for about 25 years. It's amazing. I didn't know he was at it that long. But he supplies the National Association of Blind with a tremendous amount of joy and pleasure and everything else. And he's to be very highly commended for that.
And we salute him as well. But obviously, we salute you more, Shane, because that's the important thing. Anyway,
there's nothing like favoritism.
Well, it's you know, we declare our interests. It's important. We'll do that.
Yeah.
We sort of connect on that basis. We've just had notification from one of our Buxton correspondents. Well, actually, Katie Grimmison has also said she's listening in Birmingham, which is wonderful. But Penny Evans has said, Alex Leftuk has just said he's about to launch my Christmas song to the world. I do have to stress, though, it's composed by my dear friend Phil Cotton, not Phil Leonis. So it is actually Phil Cotton who's composed this. Sheila, obviously, Days of the Three Martinis come to the fore here. Shane, I know you're a keen musicologist and appreciate all sorts of Christmas delights.
Oh, yeah.
This is nothing to do with Sidney Poitier, even though it's entitled Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. I was confused. You know, I thought, are we going to get a Sidney Poitier moment in there? In the studio, Gabriella is ready and waiting. Ed he's got his Simon Cowell hat on, or headphones at least. And Ross is obviously key for this. Are we ready to actually hear the Penny Evans Christmas tune? Officially launched. Guess Who's Coming to Dinner? Here it comes.
Coming here.
Hooded Claw or the Vampire at Your Door. Tom Stevens has thought that was wonderful, and we'd like to pass some best wishes to Matt Monroe. Yeah. Well done. Shane, what did you make of that little number?
I didn't know that he could sing like that. That was absolutely amazing.
It's astounding, yes. It wasn't me. I have to say, it wasn't me at all. I do not. It was the fabulous Penny Evans, actually. I was interested in the lyrics, James, Jack, Jessica and you. Obviously, James, Jack, and Jessica are there.
Yeah. Well, look, it conveys the Christmas spirit very nicely, and you've got to have a buoyancy about these things.
I thought
I mean, it's a time where you drop all your grouches and complaints and everything else.
You promise?
And just join in.
You promise?
I promise.
Sheila, I mean, I could have seen the Three Martinis doing a routine to that number.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Ross, your thoughts on that?
It was very nice here, very festive. I enjoyed it.
Fed through the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre as a precursor to Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Absolutely,
Gabriella?
One of the most festive songs I've heard.
Festive songs you've heard.
I'm sure. I haven't really been listening to anything festive lately.
Well, it could be hitting the Rock of Gibraltar, of course.
Yes.
Have you ever been to Gibraltar, Shane or Sheila?
Oh, yes. Film there. It's a great place. It's sort of a mixture of the old, what I used to be like around here a couple of centuries ago. Because they hold on to a lot of traditions, but there's a lovely sort of free spirit there, and it's beautiful, beautiful place.
Thank you. Did you see the apes?
Hmm?
Did you see the apes as well?
I didn't see the AIDS.
Oh my God! You went to Gibraltar and didn't see the AIDS.
Shane, what were you filming in Gibraltar that made you not see the apes?
I was filming, just a minute now, Land That Time Forgot.
The Lands That Time Forgot could be written about Gibraltar. Oh. Exactly.
And I don't know what they did to the apes. Maybe they locked them away for the film.
They were in the film, Jane.
Oh, really?
Oh, they were. Thank you, Sheila. It's nice to have that sort of backup around. And
I'll have to have that for your birthday, obviously, Gabriella. You know, you have your Christmas present today,
thank
which is
you.
We're gradually building together Gabriella's film library of things.
Gibraltar.
Of Gibraltar. She's got the opening sequence to The Living Daylights to hand now. And now, of course, you've got a whole movie with The Lands That Time Forgot. Genius.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Ed,
you've been very quiet about the Penny Evans moment, but presumably you were moved beyond words.
I loved it, Penny, and I liked the kind of the question and answer thing that was going on there.
What's in my sack?
That's the one. And also,
it's not going to last.
Penny, your performance of it is so festive and such a sweet voice that you have as well. But I also think that you could that children would really enjoy to sing that song. I think that they would really catch it.
Yes.
And
yes.
I shall be teaching my niece and nephew over in Birmingham to sing that on Boxing Day. I think that could be a good activity.
I'll give you a copy.
Can I?
I think that'd
be a great double act. That would.
And Penny, if you Facebook me the lyrics, that would be very handy.
I think that's
how old are they? How old are your niece and nephew?
My niece and nephew are. 3 and 5 and a half, respectively. And so Uncle Ed has just passed 41.
What's Uncle Ed going to say, what's Uncle Ed going to say, today?
Uncle Ed,
quite tired today, I think.
Gee, Ross, back to the life and times of Shane and Sheila River.
I'd just like to thank you for the delightful little Christmas card.
Oh, it's using new technology to express positive words of wisdom and happiness to you. That's the important thing. So, thank you.
I've not my Christmas card yet.
No, Ross. Just, anyway, carry on.
What do you guys get up to these days? I mean, they must be having all kinds of
convention
fun
heaven.
About, yeah.
Well, we've done quite a lot of conventions in this last year, including going to Japan for Thunderbirds.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Which is wonderful.
And you were rightly as royalty, which, again, is part of my second campaign, which is to get a knighthood for Shane. You know, I think
absolutely.
Sir Shane Rimmer, it has a ring to it, you know.
I'm beginning to like him more and more every day.
And now we're just finished the final edit of Shane's book. And we sent it off to somebody who sounds remotely interested, and we're going to see what happens.
Good. Now, is this a fictional book that you've been writing?
Yes. Fictional.
Oh, good.
Yep.
It's not the one about the golf key, the golf course, the golf spike. Excellent.
Because
as I was saying to Ross only yesterday when we were sharing lunch, actually not sharing, we were sort of sharing time
we
over lunch,
finish,
really.
Yeah.
We managed to have our own lunch each, which is what
I think I paid, didn't I?
I was thinking, you know, there was that line when I suggested about, you know, what would happen to Joe 90 now when he's actually sort of been, you know, in his 50s or so.
Oh, that's story. Good point. Yeah.
All of those strange ideas going through his head, etc.
He would be,
quite messed up. Probably lots of psychotherapy treatment, that's the important thing.
Yeah.
Alex, what are you doing at Christmas? Are you going to stop for 24 hours?
I might, in betwixt marking things. Thank you, Sheila, for that. Yes, I we're not doing any sort of big marathon here today, so I will focus on sort of positivity and the joy of 2014, because it's time now to ask for both of you to provide your own little Christmas festive message for the listener and the world. What would you like to share with us, Shane, or Sheila, or both?
Peace.
Nice. I like that. That's very good.
Peace.
Before we ask you those last two questions, your choice, my word, extraordinary. It's festive in either way. We can offer you to take us round to San Diego and Randy Reinholtz, Burl Ives and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, or Bing Crosby and David Bowie with Peace on Earth / Little Drummer Boy. Where do you want to go?
Well, that sounds interesting. I've never
heard
that one.
Which one do you want to choose, Shane?
The last one.
Mm. Yeah.
Really? Bing Crosby and David Bowie, Peace on Earth, Little Drummer Boy. Nice. I think Jeff Thompson would have switched off by this time. I like it. I like it ever since I saw it on the original 1977 Christmas special, but there we are. That's me. Gabriella, last two questions for Shane and Sheila.
So, Shane and Sheila, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
It's always interesting when Alex phones up with his guests.
Yes. Totally unpredictable, and you get caught out several times during the course of the program, having no idea what to say or how to reply.
I thought our rehearsal went very well this time, actually, guys.
All these ventures into the unknown are rather nice, you know, because they all seem to come out in the end okay.
Oh.
Anyway, I hope you've retrieved those monkeys, because I don't like to think
yes.
of them.
Gabriella, I still have
the Atlantic or the Pacific,
you are clearly responsible for all of the apes in Gibraltar.
Yes,
I
am. I think there's 150, so yeah, I must be Queen of the Apes.
Yeah.
Gabriella, Queen of the Apes.
Gabriella Peralta, Queen of the Apes.
you got your place, girl. That's great.
I'll tell everyone when I go home that all the apes are mine.
Nice, yeah. And
is Gabriella, are you the one who sang the Christmas song?
No, she isn't.
No, I'm not much of a singer.
So fast, I couldn't work out who was...
No, Gabriella Sheila is from Gibraltar. She's a final year journalism student here, and we've just identified her as the Queen of the Gibraltese Apes. In fact,
right.
When it comes to Gibraltarian apes.
Apes,
exactly.
Right.
I hope you're
so
listening,
now
Spain.
We know her function. That is much easier to understand.
Precisely. Anyway, the two
and
questions.
Our very last question.
Exactly.
Will you be speaking to us again, hopefully in the new year, 2014?
And I think we should actually make a couple of journeys to see you both at the Space Centre event and probably found a couple. I think we should go.
I think that would be absolutely delightful.
I really do.
It would really be a joy.
We can
at
do
it. At the beginning of March.
Yes, we can do a location report. We'll speak in January, but we'll do that. Are you up for that, Ed?
Yeah, where is it?
Oh, of course.
Where exactly? The Toyota will only go certain parts of the world.
Good point. Where exactly is the or are these events?
Leicester.
That's quite manageable.
Just outside Leicester.
It's the Leicester Space Centre, and then I think it's Heathrow Airport.
No, Alex. Leicester is Midlands.
You're quite right. I was thinking of the Bandicon, which is London. But yes, we will see you in Leicester, but we will speak before. A round of applause, please, for Shane and Sheila. Absolutely.
Oh, and to you.
Randy Reinholtz, the best director of community engagement and innovative programs from San Diego State University you could ever wish to connect with, and bringing Native American voices to the world via the Midweek Drive on Siren 107.3 FM.
Yes, and thankfully we managed to actually coalesce the whole thing together so that Professor Randy Reinholtz has been able to actually join us as opposed to last week when Jean Bruce Scott did a fantastic job and she did try to do a superb impression of your good self, Randy, but, you know, at the end of the day, we needed to have the original, and lo and behold, here you are.
Thank you.
Excellent. We've got some more news from Penny Evans, who actually would like to say that she will FB you the lyrics. I presume that means Facebook.
Thank you.
If
thank
Phil's
you.
Okay with it, but he'll have to ask, or she'll have to ask Phil first, and she also sang it on Radio Derby with children several years back. Her bridesmaid sang with her, and her bridesmaid was 7 years old at the time, and now she's at university. It just shows how much of an illusion time is, really. And Randy, as a 25-year-old, you're well aware of this, aren't you?
25 and then 50.
Listen, anybody who can actually do those U-turns in the middle of busy motorway roads.
I was only going to mention it once more, but I did actually pass that junction twice on Saturday, and I had a little chill down my spine as I did, because I just couldn't get the G-force out of the Toyota that you achieved Was it a Merc? It was a Merc.
Yeah, I think. Yeah,
it was good stuff, though. I mean, yeah, I figured you were actually going for a remake of Knight Rider, but with a Mercedes as opposed to a Pontiac. You know, it's fantastic. You know, it's great. Anyway, it seems like only yesterday you were joining us in the studio, course, and here, and lo and behold, on the calendar, and so on and so forth. But San Diego's Native Voices continues to go from strength to strength, doesn't it, Randy?
Yeah, we're having a good time. We had a nice trip to New York. And it seems like one of the writers that we're working with in New York that we're producing in Los Angeles and met with her and script revisions. And then one of the other writers we've been working with looks like she's going to get a New York production. So wait till the ink is dry. But that looks really good. And that particular show is about Manhattan, and it would be produced in Lower Manhattan. And that was an island that was originally inhabited. I can't remember. I'll come back to the tribe in a second. Mm.
It is quite fascinating. And as I say, we were blessed with award-winning journalist John Pilger, whose movie Utopia is about to be released, which talks about the indigenous Australian tribes of Aborigines, etc., and the challenges that they actually went through, where astonishingly, even in the 20th century, it would seem that Australians actually would count sheep in the census, but not Aborigines. What, go figure. Unbelievable. You know, it is strange how human beings could actually have this routine. And Gene was saying that you'd actually been over in Australia and you actually performed a few times to Australian audiences as well.
It was amazing how many things connected. You know, they're similar sorts of organizations and small language groups. And then as the colonization happened, there were both alliances and rivalries that happened. We had a comedy that referenced all the different small tribal, you know, this group is short and fat, and this group is particularly funny, and this group can't cook, all those kinds of jokes. And while they didn't know any of the tribal references, it was all parallel for people that lived in that region. We were playing in Brisbane, which I guess is in Queensland. And they found all the humor in the play, which was remarkable, thinking that it was all based on in-jokes in Indian country.
Just had a Facebook message from our new Indian correspondent, Devalina, who has actually said she was listening to Penny Evans on Alex Levchuk's World Radio Channel show. I quite like that. World Radio Channel show. I think we should look towards that, Randy. I'll put it to you. How wonderful and delightful and warm she sounds. I think that's true in terms of the...
Indeed.
Very much.
I was listening to you before we hooked up, too.
Well, there we are. Well, in which case, let's offer you the opportunity to provide those wonderful director's notes, which, of course, Phil Leonis always provides as well. What have you made of the show so far?
I didn't hear much of it, but uh-huh. I heard about 5 minutes of it before you called,
okay.
And I liked it quite a bit. I was wishing I heard someone sing.
Ah.
Seemed like there was much talk of singing.
There was indeed, yes.
Even you missed it.
You were singing.
I did indeed sort of give a little bit of oratory to the whole thing through.
I think you could you give Randy just a 20-second burst?
A little 20-second burst. You really believe that the computer can actually cope with this, do you, Ed? Which is wonderful.
Well, I don't believe that at all. It would be fun to find it and watch it crash.
A little burst of the whole thing. Well, I suppose the option is Burl Ives and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, so I suppose, yeah. I don't know, it's still something there. Okay, well, the official line that we actually had, which was, of course, Penny Evans, with Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, which I still think is a Sidney Poitier movie, which, anyway, this was it.
Yeah.
In fact, let's scoot along a little bit from that sort of setting. a little bit more, too.
Keep your chimneys clean. Go to bed and shut your eyes and you will have a big surprise.
You see, that could be taken from a totally different movie, couldn't it? Go to bed and shut your eyes. And you will have a big surprise. I don't want to disconnect.
There's got to be a drag queen singing that song, and it would really pop.
Well, who knows what opportunities could provide, you know, from that sort of sequence. I mean, I'll give you another little 10 seconds.
What's that coming down the street? Trotting feet down the street. Reindeer coming down the street. Down the street to you.
See. It's just as well Gene's in Anchorage and safe in Alaska. Obviously, what is that trotting down the street? It could be a moose. Never mind.
It probably will be.
Oh, there we are. Gabriella Peralta from Gibraltar. Any questions for Randy Reinholtz from San Diego?
Do you want to tell us a bit about what you're doing next year and some of your plans?
Exactly. A little tease ahead here, yes. Randy. I mean, we haven't even spoken about the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, but let's look ahead to Native Voices in 2014.
We have a show that is kind of connected to the Edward Snowden. I don't know if that makes much impact in the news over there, but Edward Snowden is our CIA person who took all the files with him, and we're not sure if he's a traitor or a hero because he's letting people know how the spying works in America. And we have a similar show in that a Native person is hired by the government to keep people in line. He is in the military. He's going to make a career of it. And then he is in this protest, and he turns his weapon on his commanding officer. And he's in a similar situation to Snowden. You don't know if he's standing up for all the right reasons or if he's committing treason. The play is called Standoff on Highway 37, and it's about tribal land rights.
And when will we be able to see this play, or where will it be going on?
In Los Angeles. We open February 28th and run through the month of March at the Autry National Center.
One of these days, we'll have to get the Learjet sorted through from there. But I think Phil Leonis might be able to go along. After all, he sort of does connect with the Los Angeles Master Chorale, etc. So it's Standoff on Highway 37?
Yes.
I just wanted to check we got the right highway, because Lord knows we could have ended up on Route 66 and not know where we were going, basically. This is the kind of thing, Ross, which, as I frequently said, Lincoln Performing Arts Centre would find delightful.
It would be perfect. Yeah, I mean,
and I've shown both Randy and Jean the actual Lincoln Performing Arts Centre as a venue, and they both said, I think we could work here.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Unless they were lying, I don't
know. Any plans to come over? We should talk to our artistic director, Craig. He'd definitely be up for something.
I think we should introduce...
Well, I think when we get the Measure for Measure together, that's the one that would play very well.
Yeah.
Because it has the Shakespeare base, but it's tongue-in-cheek Blazing Saddles.
Which I'm still recovering from, that particular notion, you know, a tongue-in-cheek version, a Shakespearean version of Blazing Saddles. Well, Measure for Measure done a la Blazing Saddles. Phenomenal.
There you go.
Ed, any thoughts, questions from yourself? Are you still sort of... I think you're still having flashbacks to the driving experience, Randy. I thought it was perfectly safe myself, you know. You wanted to do a nice little U-turn on a dual carriageway in the UK. Why not? You know, you have the speed, you have the pace. We're still alive here. Anyway.
No. I'm going to ask something very deep and meaningful. About Christmas decorations, Randy, have you got your Christmas decorations up and about? And if so, what are they like?
All sort of artificial, with bright lights. We have a tree and the banister decorated. Ooh. My brother gives us nutcrackers for the past 25 years. So the house is nutcracker.
Cool waiting.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. Yeah.
Somebody else is trying to get hold of you there, Randy. Or us.
Yeah, clearly.
Maybe it's Gene.
Life bleeping through in all sorts of ways. Have you got any final Christmas thoughts that you'd like to share with the great British public and indeed the world, citizens of the universe? Randy Reinholtz, the floor is yours.
Peace on earth and a quiet holiday with family.
Oh, I think that's wonderful stuff. And I take it you've had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat?
Have.
And we look forward to seeing you in January 2014.
Yay!
Thereabouts. Yay! See Jimmy Osmond back on the show as well next year. That was obviously with the rest of the Osmonds and their version of Silent Night. Ross, truthsayer or truthseeker or director? What would you like to go for? Truthseeker or director?
Director.
Good choice.
This is Malcolm Tomlinson, actor, horse racing commentator and voice-over artiste, proudly presenting the Midweek Drive's regular 6:30 p.m. correspondent. Whether he's in his PJs or not, the truth is out there, director extraordinaire, Mr. Phil Leonis!
Yay! Phil and myself, of course, who had a mini-myathon yesterday with Dean Haglund in lots of sort of fun ways where, you know, you kind of look at the computer and say, well, it's all right, you know, I'm sure they've got this on that side of the pond, and I think, oh, I'm sure they've got that on the other side of the pond, and you know, it just meant we kind of just kept going, shooting the transatlantic breeze, talking about all sorts of other marvellous things, but it makes for a very interesting seasonal chill-pack Hollywood to me, Phil Leonis.
You said it best earlier in this show when you said time is an illusion, and that was never more true than when we recorded a one-hour conversation and did so during 4 hours.
Yeah, exactly. It was extraordinary. But that's the magic of Skype, really. It's great. You know, I feel as though we all grew in the experience of that show. I almost wish I could have shared it with Gabriella and Ed and Ross, but they can just have to listen. They just have to listen into the show, and probably the director's cut. Oh, we can't have that because obviously we've had challenges recording it. Never mind.
When you say we grew, you simply mean we grew older because it took that long. You know, Alex, I realize, and this is the season of giving, and I realize that for 6 months I've been promising to deliver an audio identification
contributor of the year.
The Ed Willman,
and
I failed to deliver, but I do for the first time at least have an idea forming that could be at least the basis for a wonderful audio identification, and I'd like to share with you the idea that's come to me. And, you know, we'll throw it out on the stoop and see if the cat licks it up.
Before you do that, just to remind you, I mean, the last grand success that we actually had of Leonis quality was...
Hi, this is filmmaker Phil Leonis.
And this is actress Lily Holloman.
If we've learned anything from all of our travels and adventures...
it's that Hannah O'Brien is a snickerdoodle.
She's also...
the Rookie of the Year.
On Siren FM's Midweek Drive.
She was, but these days, Gabriella, she obviously just can't stand the pace, can she?
I think she can. Well, she has a combo, I think.
I saw her pass by the studio. She gave me a little wave as she walked past the
she's
studio.
She's doing work as well for Jay, you know, stressful times. So.
Sorry,
Phil. Thank goodness, because the director's cut of that identification now includes a bit about how, if you see this woman, please notify authorities immediately. We're worried about her.
So true. Exactly.
So here's the first idea I have for the Ed Willman identification. I'm just going to do it live. You let me know whether it's worth actually recording. It begins like this. Who's that on the radio? Here we go. Radio.
I've got it. Okay. I've got it. I like it. Tell us who's on the radio. The radio today. Yeah.
I don't know where these brilliant ideas come from.
It's Ross, this is what you call genius at work here. I mean, there are moments where you just get that sort of sense. You know, who's that on the radio? Radio. Fantastic, yeah.
It just fell to us like a penny from heaven.
Yep, there we are. Anyway, so apart from that, have you managed to catch most of the programme today? I mean, obviously, Randy, I thought, was going to step in and usurp your director's notes, but on 5 minutes, there's not a great deal you can actually do on the sort of system. So hopefully you managed to catch a little bit more of that, shall we say.
I listened to almost the entire show. I am on the road right now, heading into Beverly Hills, with Miss Lily Holloman.
Hey!
Who was doing her best Mario Andretti impersonation as we speak.
I hope Lily was singing along with the tune.
Lily unfortunately missed the worldwide launch of Penny's song, and so
Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. It's called Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. Nothing to do with Sidney Poitier. That's not a full title, by the way. And written by Phil Cotton, not Phil Leonis. So Phil Cotton there.
Absolutely. Thanks for putting an end to that rumor right now. Listen, you know, what I love about this show, year in, year out, is your dedication to the literal arts.
Literal, as opposed to literary or literature. Definitely literal.
It says it in the Lincolnshire Echo. It's a paper, so it must be true. It's sitting in black and white. It says here, in this sort of thing, it would enhance cultural value. And
it's an annual festival of literal cultural and creative art, isn't it?
Literal, yeah, exactly. We don't mess with that.
But really, really. I think what I want to know is, in four words, give to me the three words that come to mind when you listen to Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
Now, we needed more warning for that, Phil. You would know that.
Superlative, exciting, innovative, and strange. There's five words. I couldn't squeeze it into four. Unbelievable. Gabriella?
Alex, I love that you referred to the fact that last year, this time, we were preparing to save the world. It yes. never really occurred to me that that's what we were doing. But I think it's time for us to realize that maybe one of the reasons that I am so exhausted a year later is that that's exactly what we did.
Yeah, I know. It's sometimes, you know, as heroes, we need to stand up and be counted, much as our Mr. Motivator said earlier, or the motivation speaker said earlier, David Thomas. Penny Evans would just like to correct something. You can't get the tune out of your head now, can you, Alex and Phil? LOL. Thanks, guys. It's called Guess Who's Coming Here Today. Fine. Quite right. Yes.
Yeah, see, I didn't think it was Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, but you know, but she is absolutely right. You can't get the tune out of your head. And when you think about the fact that 80% of the things we learn don't stay in our head, that's really quite extraordinary, isn't it? Look, I am surprised that you didn't ask the memory champion, Alex, what the 39 steps were.
Oh, nice one. I thought we'd save that until his return. I thought he's from Halifax. He might have reacted negatively. I wanted to sort of ease him in gently, step by step. I mean, after all, Ed, you know, it's a significant salary that he commands on a day-by-day basis, isn't it?
I think £3,000.
Per appearance. That's per almost appearance. As much as your good self, yeah. Phil Leonis, actually, but mine. Anyway. It translates. Ross, you know, clearly you'd be singing the song all the way to Salford, but would you like to you know, quiz Phil Leonis on what he's made of other bits of the show, or what he'd like to find out about the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre?
Yeah.
Because he hasn't seen... I think he's seen it from the outside.
Okay, so have you been before to the campus, to the university?
He's sat in the very chair that Ed is sitting in now.
Ah, brilliant.
Yeah. He's coming again, Lincoln Inspired, next year.
Oh, great.
it's He might tell you the tale of how we actually met. I don't think Gabriella even knows how I actually met.
No, I don't know that tale.
No.
Please tell it to me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Gabriella, who we've now found, not only have you got Living Daylights, but also we can look forward to The Land That Time Forgot,
yeah.
featuring Gibraltar. And I'm already getting...
Gibraltar's featured everywhere.
I'm suggesting that Phil should set his next movie in Gibraltar. Anyway.
He really should.
Yeah.
Phil, you should.
Sorry, Phil.
And I would imagine that it would have to be a rock opera.
No.
See what I did there? A rock. Okay. So, see, I've used up all the good material. I'm just getting rid of everything else must go before the end of the year. Do you want me to tell the story of how we met, Alex?
Yeah, I think so.
That's a good story.
It's one of those festive classics that's around. I'll close my microphone down, so it's entirely up to yourself.
Well, I believe it was when I was arriving in London for the world premiere of The Truth Is Out There, a documentary that I directed about conspiracies and consciousness and comedy. And it was having its debut at the British Film Institute as part of Sci-Fi London. And I had arrived from Heathrow. I got off the tube in, Piccadilly, and was checking in at the Apollo Cinemas. Before hustling off to my hotel, because I just was excited to be there and wanted to say hello to my friends at Sci-Fi London, the film festival. And Alex was there interviewing festival director Louis Savvy. I got waved into the green room where this interview was going on, and having just flown 10 hours, gone through 2 hours of the border checks getting in, and then an additional, hour in tube ride from Heathrow, was in no condition at all to carry on meaningful discourse. So who better to have a microphone thrust into his face? It wasn't even introduced to Alex. Just
well, he just put the microphone in your face?
Yeah.
Alex!
And
at least introduce yourself.
And the world of broadcasting has never been the same since.
You go with that intuitive feeling, Gabriella.
And how long ago was this? Years ago?
Years ago. It was 2011. It would have been, May of 2011 or late April. In fact, it was late April, and I believe, Alex, the royal wedding was coming up later that week.
Yeah, astonishingly, they didn't like me thrusting a microphone in Will's face at the time. I was all there to actually get some, you know, initial sort of thoughts with I refer to as Sir and everything, but, you know, it just didn't happen.
It worked. You're still friends now.
Well, exactly. Yes, nice.
So no regrets.
That's how Alex makes friends. He just walks around and thrusts microphone into people's faces. Nobody notices that the microphone's not plugged into anything. Much like sadly, our microphones during yesterday's conversation.
Yeah,
for
a good thing. Don't try that at home. I mean, you see, how Ross, Caitlin Clark, could have been nervous about doing this show now. I don't. Unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a shame.
Never mind. Anyway, got a few more minutes. Would you like to shoot the breeze with Phil in a transatlantic mode? Or perhaps not. Ed.
I don't know. I can just see a little bit of Lion, Witch and Wardrobe poster poking out there.
What are we going to see tomorrow? Well, at least Gabriella and myself, basically. What are we going to see tomorrow?
Yeah, well, it's a great play. It's the Lion, Witch and the Wardrobe, which is showing at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre.
Hasn't got Kate Blanchett in it, does it?
No, yeah. No. But just have
Phil Lynn spoke to three of the cast a few weeks ago.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, and
they spoke to him as well.
Brilliant. They had a great time, yeah. They need to come back.
Well, they haven't...
And again, the fact that Kate Blanchett is not in it makes a great deal of sense, given that she's never been in Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Because Kate Blanchett, as we explain to you each and every week on this show, Alex, Kate Blanchett is not actually Tilda Swinton.
If I confuse Tilda Swinton with Kate Blanchett, it happens, doesn't it? You know, that's the 80% that's there.
I don't know if you have this talk show host from the U.S., if he is broadcast anywhere in the U.K., but there is a talk show host that's often confused for Tilda Swinton, and that's Conan O'Brien.
Yes. Nice one. Unlikely to actually happen. Maybe we go down Russ Limbaugh, which is another perspective that we are unlikely to feature, or indeed Howard Stern. But there we are. We'll progress on from that. Ross, very quickly, what fantastic things are happening, which sadly you won't be promoting, but you're doing it in your last sort of thing in the upcoming season, which is out now for the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre.
Yeah, there's lots of things happening. I mean, it's a real shame I'm going to be there, but I think the biggest one that, you know, I'm sort of most looking forward to is the return of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
The Bible.
Yeah, where they're doing the Bible, the complete Word of God, abridged. They were brilliant when they did the complete works of William Shakespeare earlier this year, which you guys did a great interview on. But yeah, really looking forward to having them back in the new year.
Now, would that be the very same people who we would actually say did this?
I'm Gary. I'm Matt.
I'm Rippy.
And we are the Reduced Shakespeare Company. And you're listening to the Midweek Drive on Siren FM.
I think it is.
Almost up to Lioness quality of international broadcasts.
Yeah. There's a whole group of them, and they kind of alternate between shows, but yeah, they're back.
But they all fit in very nicely because they're quite small. Fantastic. Yeah. And of course, you can go online to the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre and find out all the details there as well, no doubt.
LPAC.co.uk.
Fantastic. How's the journey been? Is Lily still driving, or has she got time to give us a Christmas message?
No, she's driving. We're driving to Beverly Hills, where she has an audition before getting on a plane to fly back east. So it's a busy day for Lily Holloman.
Well, we send Lily our very best wishes, and in many ways you are the heart-to-heart of our transatlantic conversations. I see myself more as kind of either Max or possibly Freeway. There we are.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on from that. Ed, any thoughts of yourself?
Phil, tell me what you love most about Christmas. There's a broad question for you.
You mean prior to hearing Penny's song?
She's feeling very festive now.
I think prior to that, in that we had the message that came from Shane was peace. The message that came from Randy was peace on earth. Do you want to develop that slightly further as a Christmas message?
No, look, I believe in peace on earth as a message all the time, and I wish people nothing but peace, action, and adventure in the new year. What I love best about the holiday season, year in, year out, is the sense of magic, and it's almost a dark magic. I love the atmosphere of the Christmas. I love how it gets dark early. I love the lights. I love the candlelight. I love the hushed tones. magical ambiance where anything seems possible, and that's what I love best about it. Because really, if we could bottle that sense, the sense that anything is possible, well, imagine what we could do with that year round.
I think we're convinced, Phil.
Certainly wonderful. Have you enjoyed your show, your first one, and hopefully not your last, even though you're going to Salford, Ross Ironfield?
I have, yeah. It's been a very good experience. Thank you for having me. It's been
not
great.
Not too traumatic, was it, really?
Not as traumatic as I thought, no.
Geared us up for when we thrust microphones in Shane Rimmer's face.
Yeah. I think we have secured Ross's services, possibly as the Salford correspondent.
We'll
share you with Salford Community Radio.
Media City. Media City, all that good. Gabriella, have you enjoyed the programme?
As always, yes, I have.
Haven't given a shout-out to your parents. Do you want to just give them a quick mention?
Hi, Mom, Dad, Mario and Glenda, and Uncle Douglas from London. Hope you're all listening and enjoying the show, as always.
It's Uncle Douglas who always impresses me, really.
Yes. Him and his chihuahua, both.
Please. Uncle Douglas and his chihuahua. Gabriella, you've done it again. It's amazing. We haven't actually had our TUT thought for the day. What number would you like, Ed, between 2 and 26?
Shall we have 26?
You're really going to go for 26?
I'm going to push that boundary.
You're going to go for 26. Okay. You want 26? You got 26.
Being fair and reasonable will earn you respect and admiration. But being genuinely kind will make you a total love magnet. Pucker up the universe.
Splendid. We had an email from Jeff in North Links who actually said, nice choice of song, Saturday is the shortest day of the year. I'm not sure that was some sort of reference to his own sort of... It was very strange, that. Never mind. Phil Leonis, Gabriella Peralta from Gibraltar, mm-hmm. would like to ask you those last two questions.
So, Phil, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
It has been absolute merriment from the word go.
And I'm sure that you will be speaking to us in the future. Hopefully 2040 will bring way more Phil into Sirens.
Way more Phil into Siren FM. It's a Siren FM, so just way, way more Phil.
Yes, I'm expecting it.
It will bring absolute fulfillment.
Hey. All the Phil.
Genius. And do you want to plug next week's or whenever Chilpack Hollywood, which features one of the Midweek Drive team? I mean, you shamelessly put that together?
Absolutely, and bless you for bringing it up. Each and every week since May of 2007 with Dean Haglund, star of The X-Files, I have hosted a free weekly podcast called Chilpack Hollywood Hour. People can find it at chillpackhollywood.com. That's C-H-I-L-L-P-A-K, Hollywood.com. And on this coming week's show, for the first time ever, a full hour with Mr. Alex Lefcha.
It's frightening in its own sense, but, you know, somehow strangely wonderful at the same time. Thanks to Shane and Sheila Rimmer, Randy Reinholtz, Michelle Monroe, David Thomas, Anna Lewis, Cameron Tilbury, and Ross Ironfield, Ed Wellman, and Gabriella Peralta, and Phil Leonis. Thank you, dear listener. Thanks to Penny Evans and our fantastic Devilina from outside Delhi, etc. Can we all say Happy Christmas?
Happy Christmas.
And we'll see you in the morning.
So this is Christmas.